Welcome to Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. I'm your host, Julie Otaku. This is a podcast about blackness and its many intersections ranging from politics to fashion, music to activism, academia to art, sex work to healthcare, and so on and so forth. Guest appearances from professionals in their respective fields will provide insight and unique perspectives to the issues discussed. Sit back, listen, laugh, think, and consider new perspectives as you join me across the mic. Welcome to another episode of Across the Mic. My name is Julie Otaku, and I'm here with Malit Millington. Malit, go ahead and tell the people who you are.
Hello, everybody. I am currently a graduate student at the Pregnant Mark Graduate School of Journalism. I'm wrapping up my master's degree in journalism, and I am a native Brooklynite. I have been living here pretty much my whole life, and journalism is pretty much everything for me. If I wasn't doing this as a career, I literally do not know what I would be doing with my life. Just because I've always been the flat out nerd, all the TV shows, all the books, all the things, like all things nerd, like that's me. So I'm just, you know, in that kind of fueled my curiosity and my interest.
Got it.
I've always been, you know, and I've loved English my whole life, and I knew that I didn't
want to. Oh, that's awesome. My mom was actually a high school English teacher. Awesome. So I can definitely relate.
Yeah, and I knew that I didn't just want to do English, because obviously there's so many things you can do with English.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to, you know, make a difference in the world, and you know, given my personal experience, as we just summed up, I knew that, you know, I had to find a way to, you know, incorporate English but still have that huge impact. So that is what propelled me to deciding to pursue journalism at the age of 10, which was pretty young. But I'm the kind of person that thinks ahead. So at that time, I was thinking ahead to...
That's impressive to have that kind of foresight at your young age.
Thinking ahead at the age of 10, I was thinking ahead to high school. And at that time in high school, I had done my college search 2 years early, bro. That's how transcendent I am. I think ahead a lot. Like, I think ahead years ahead. Like, it's, you know, it's just always been a thing, which, you know, I don't know many people that think that far ahead. Although, they're still in the present. It's weird, but it makes sense to me.
Got it.
But, yeah, that would be my intro in a nutshell.
To be somebody that young having thoughts of like years and years ahead, I don't even know what my mind was on at 10. It definitely wasn't high school. It was what cartoon I was gonna watch, whether I was gonna hang out with my friends. It was just a whole bunch of like nonsensical stuff. So the fact you were thinking like that is very impressive. Mm-hmm.
Like, I decided I was 10. Mm-hmm. I figured out my life, bro. I figured out my track for my life.
And based on what you were having, the thoughts you were having then, have you basically followed that exact track from then till now?
I've just been steady grind. Yeah, it's been pretty consistent. So I knew that I was gonna go for a bachelor's and a master's and then be done, and that's where I'm at now. I'm just wrapping that up and working, so pretty much followed it to a T. You know, barring some minor, you know, shifts.
Yeah, little bumps in the road, but nonetheless, you stay the course.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, because sometimes I can't even stay on track for whatever plans I had over the weekend because life happens, and me knowing myself, sometimes I tend to have like a hyperactive mind, and I don't necessarily stay interested in things for a long period of time. I may or may not have undiagnosed ADHD. I don't know, but I believe there's a test, and I can definitely like visit a neurologist to figure that out. So speaking of ADHD, that would be qualified as like an invisible disability, correct? Because I know it's a learning disability when you're like in K through 12.
Yeah, there's learning. Like, I think there's learning disabilities, physical disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the mental end of it. So like I guess schizophrenia and voices and sounds.
Yeah,
and
different kinds of like neurodiversities, right?
Yeah, there's a whole lot. It's deep.
Got it. And that actually brings me to your capstone project for your master's program. Would you mind telling the people about it? Because I was completely blown away by some of the information I came across in terms of what the almost invisible nature with which society treats disabled struggles and like everyday life, and just the fact that there's the quote unquote handicap button that you see on the wall when you're walking into a building. People sometimes disregard the humans who actually need those, and they just use it out of the convenience of not wanting to like use their hands to open the door. Go ahead and tell us about your capstone project and some of its findings.
The focus was on work challenges for disabled people in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Transportation, remote work, and like jobs.
Yeah, and like in-person jobs.
Yeah. And you know, my findings, at least on the transportation end, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, they were pretty disheartening when I read them.
That is a pretty big beast. Mm-hmm. But in my ultimate final project, you know, I found that obviously Access the Ride is like extra slow when it comes to properly functioning as a system.
Yeah, some of them were, you said, like up to 40 minutes late on like the targeted times.
Yeah, it's crazy, at least on that front. And then in terms of, I mean, obviously jobs, there's the whole concept of discrimination, which again, each of these little things, they're their own little beasts. So with jobs, you know, there was, again, going back to the discrimination and ableist thinking that, yes, you know, just because somebody's disabled in any way, shape, or form, as I just explained,
mm-hmm,
they, you know, they can't, like, there's this I guess unspoken thing, mm-hmm, that like, just because you're disabled, you can't, you know, function, you can't live life. You,
yeah,
can't.
The stigma.
It stinks, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's on that. And then in terms of remote work, what I heard from a lot of folks was that obviously remote work made it easier for them to do their whatever work they were doing.
Yeah.
No, it was easier on them to have less issues with commuting, going back to the, you know, in connection with Access Ride and so on, because that's the,
yeah,
for many disabled folks, that's,
yeah, from your room to your home office or your desk isn't nearly as much of a commute as from your home to a physical office that might be like across town.
And just like the whole thing of, I mean, just stairs and doors, and it's mm-hmm, a it's a mumbled, it's a big jumbled mess, bro. Honestly, the whole thing of disabled folks not being able to live life, not mm-hmm. having access to an elevator for the subway or an elevator for a for a building or a ramp.
That's a big, those were two big ones. Those are really big.
And then getting to whatever floor you're going to be at for mm-hmm. wherever your office is, wherever your floor is for your job, you know? And yeah, it's a pain in the gut, man.
Now you can speak your mind. Let it out.
There's just like a lot going on. And yeah, it's messed. There needs to be some real effective change that's actually going to help, because, I don't know, in the decades that access rights been around,
yeah,
it's still slow as heck.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got people, and the whole and then with jobs, it's just the ableism thing. It's like, so it has yet to, there's always going to be more work to do,
mm-hmm.
which is great, but it's also exhausting.
Yeah, of course, because sometimes the work that needs to be done is then left to the people who are victims.
Mm-hmm.
The work is left to be taught by the victims instead of those who are unaffected. And the thing you were talking about that's been around for decades, you're talking about the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act, right?
Yes. And that will be 32 years this year.
Wow.
And yet there's still so much that we have to do. There's still so much, laws and bills and all sorts of, so much advocacy still needs to be done. And we're in 2022. What the heck, man? Like, the subways alone, we're in 2022.
And yeah, the subways, the New York subway system is abysmal.
And we still have, at least, at most, 3/4 of the whole system inaccessible to the folks that, need it, that use it, that travel long distances and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. It's crap. So change needs to happen. Obviously it doesn't happen overnight, but we made progress, but there's still so much work to do. But yeah, it's an exhausting thing.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, because you mentioning the subway system, I'm just thinking of a place like Penn Station and how crowded and difficult it can be to traverse as somebody able-bodied or somebody able to just walk around Penn Station, let alone somebody who's in a wheelchair, or somebody who has crutches, or somebody who has to use a cane or what have you, how much more difficult it is to get around. Or like office buildings, how elevators might not be in opportune locations, or how maybe the driveway isn't conducive to somebody who has a wheelchair but doesn't have somebody to push them. And just like different infrastructural things and issues that non-disabled people deal with. Imagine that, but even harder.
Yeah, it all comes down to, if I had to put it in two words, I'd say obviously advocacy, of course, but
mm-hmm.
the big one is access. Access to everything.
Yeah.
Access to life.
Truly.
Access is essentially the thing that, having access to all of that
mm-hmm.
just makes life easier. And so for disabled folks. And so not having that just puts them in just such a it's like it's not even a it's like a permanent rock in a hard place. Like, honestly, it's but it all comes down to actually, you know, having the laws in place to actually enact the necessary change, and then of course making sure that those laws in turn go, like 10, 15, 20, a gazillion years down the line, actually function well and work for the folks that they're supposed to serve. Because accessoride, it's not there. It's not there. It's just not there.
One of the statistics here said they missed 468. They had 468 no-shows in a total of like 1,000 stops. Like, that's absolutely absurd. If I did a no-show at my job, I would lose it. Like, after a couple of times or two or three times, like, that's out of 1,000 scheduled trips. Like, there are people depending on this. It's not like they just make the trips out of, like, on a whim. There are schedules. There are people paid to do these things. And,
therapy and all sorts of, like, life things. It just stinks that that's not, you know, it's, again, it all comes down to just...
Hold on. Let me correct myself. It was 4.68 no-shows out of 1,000 scheduled trips in October of 2021, which would then equate to 645 no-show trips in October 21 in total.
Which is more than half, bro. Like,
yeah, that's more than half.
Holy fudge, man. That's messed up. Like, you don't even have to be a researcher to, like, that's messed up.
Yeah, if I live on Long Island, so if the LIRR was to not do what it needs to do, thousands of people are affected immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately. Even with like a 20-minute delay, immediately. Their schedules are thrown out. What more of the train not showing up at all? That would be madness.
Yeah.
That would be madness. And with that being said, you have a very, very noble, proper, and important cause here in pursuing disabled rights and pushing forward as an advocate. And it's incredible the work that you're doing. What are some things that people can do, like material things, actionable things that people can do? Because, you know, as a journalist, one of the tenets of making something newsworthy is that it's actionable. So what are some ways that people can get involved locally, that they can change in their day-to-day behaviors, that can help break the stigma and can then, you know, like, just get a light shown on the disabled community and some of the struggles they deal with? Because disabled people aren't invisible, but greater society would almost have you believe they are.
That's exactly. Yes, exactly. That's it right there. And I think, first off, having an education, just understanding the disabled people in whatever city, county, state, country, province, etc., that you live in, knowing who they are, even if you just know one person with their own individual struggles, talk to that person, get to know them, hear their story, that first off. And then second would obviously be educate yourself on the laws of the land when it comes to disability, and make sure that you're actually, you know, advocating. So if you know there's like any like local events in your area, attend. Make sure you're first knowledgeable about disability on the whole and how it affects everything, and then attend, march, you know, do all that, and, you know, sign petitions, call your local leaders. There's so many.
Yeah, your council people, council, your representatives,
state assembly bills, state senate bills, Congress bills that are like actively like dealing with disability, and each one is different, but making sure that they actually help the disabled is important. So educate yourself on those bills, mm-hmm. on all those like local laws and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, that like that's the most crucial part, is knowing your community, number one, and knowing disability as a subject, and just keeping an eye on whatever's going on that involves disability, and, you know, being an ally. So, yeah, I know for me, like, I advocate through my work as a journalist. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be, hopefully, a long list of disability stories coming from me. So, first off, you know, you can follow me on all my socials, which is in my link tree, which is on Instagram. And
absolutely, all your information will be linked to this.
Feel free to share that. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Educate yourself and be knowledgeable about the subject at large, because it is big. Be an ally by, you know, as I said, calling your local leaders and making sure they really understand what it is that, you know, your friends, your family, anybody that you know who's in the disabled community mm-hmm. internationally, making sure that their voices are heard. So, yeah, that would be, you know, some things that I'd say would be a good starting point to being a supportive ally.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you. And this, I just remembered, this month, I believe, is actually Autism Awareness Month. And autism is a disability, or rather, it's a neurodiverse disability. Is that the correct term for it? Or is it just classified as a learning disability? Because there's a lot of language and jargon to how these different terms and disabilities do exist, and there are proper connotations and there are improper connotations. I don't ever want to like misspeak.
Yes, and that is the number one reason why I said educate yourself. Understand. Mm-hmm. Just look at like the long list of both visible and invisible disabilities, and really understanding not necessarily how it works in a human body or how it can work, but knowing
that it exists.
Just knowing the terminology, understanding the language, how you use certain terms, it's super important. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me on that. And I brought it up because autism, as we both know, is on a spectrum. So you can have autism and be high functioning, or you could be on the, I'm trying to pick my words very carefully, or you could need like daily assistance, maybe not necessarily a nanny, but you might need assistance to like get through your day to day. You need classes, you need enhanced help. You might need assistance, you know.
Yes. So, to be honest, I honestly see, I mean, just as I said, disability is pretty wide. Mm-hmm. You know, autism has its own spectrum, but in my book, all disabilities have spectrums. Like,
that's true.
Each disability, and every disability out there in the world, affects every single person in that community differently. So for me, as I said, I'm in the subgroup that looks able-bodied, but has cerebral palsy. But there are folks with cerebral palsy that are wheelchair-bound. There are folks that, you know, use kings or walkers or wheelchairs or all three or crutches, you know, so it and the physical ability of each person because of their disability, it varies. Like, it all varies. Each, it has its own
spectrum, as you said. Yeah.
No disability is the same. No person, no disabled person is the same. No cerebral palsy person is the same. No autistic person is the same. So, you know, it has each person that is in the community, regardless of whatever disability it is, visible or invisible, is personally affected in a different way.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And you had said something earlier that made me take a pause. You mentioned your glasses being a disability aid. Now, we're both wearing glasses.
Yes.
I have never thought of my glasses as a disability aid or that I was on the spectrum of a disability. Like, glasses kind of get the pass that there's something you wear because you can't see well, or your eyesight is deteriorating for whatever reason, whatever is macular degeneration, or there was injury done to your eyes, or it's hereditary. And those are a disability aid. I've never seen them as such, even though it says so on your license, I believe, that you have like a vision aid if you wear glasses.
Yeah, corrective lenses. So for me, I'm nearsighted, and so I am nearsighted because of, there's a story within a story, within the story, as to how my whole journey. And so, yeah, corrective lenses, for folks who are premature, at birth, there is a slew of stuff, which includes cerebral palsy, which includes vision issues, which is hence these. There's sort of like not necessarily side effects, but ripple effects. So like it all deals with the, so the brain development. Not gonna get into that, but yeah, it's mind-blowing once you educate yourself, the things you can learn about you know, really anything. So powerful things that you can learn when you really, you know, sit and
you dedicate the time to it.
And really understand.
Yes. And I'm trying to remember the exact point I was going to make. Yes. Glasses being a disability aid, but people not seeing it as such because the stigma doesn't exist when you wear glasses until you're like, get older and your lenses get thicker, and then that plays into ageism. And then if you're blind or you're vision visually impaired, and you might use a walking stick to get around, that's the only time then people would like see, so to speak, no pun intended, that you are disabled. But just right, quote unquote, regular reading glasses aren't seen as a disability aid. Or maybe somebody who has dyslexia, and that's not a visible disability, so to speak, as a learning disability, they would be seen as quote unquote neurotypical, even though there's something that makes it difficult for them to process words and language as easily as others do. And somebody who might have ASD, which I believe is autism spectrum disorder. They changed the term from Asperger's because Asperger was allegedly, he was a, or apparently he was a Nazi. So they're moving the language away from some of those antiquated like names and their origins. So, as to make them better and to bring them closer to what they mean in today's context. There are a lot of people who we don't know who actually have ASD. Like, for example, Elon Musk has ASD, and Chris Rock even has ASD, and it's way more common than a lot of us know. But until we see a like an overt form of it, so to speak, some it's not really acknowledged per se until the person then says, hey, I have ASD, and they like tell you what their disability is. So there's almost this assumption that everybody is able-bodied or neurotypical unless it's visual. And then they're treated as such, or if it is visual, they're treated with almost like bubble wrapped gloves, as if this person is fragile and breakable, which sometimes can be like endearing, like you do need to be careful. But I can imagine how patronizing it might be if you are someone who has a disability and you're perfectly capable of like taking care of yourself, and someone going way out of their way to like help you, which might be like polite at first, but you might be like, hey, I got this. Like, I'm a grown adult. I've lived with this disability for most of my life. I can do this.
And as I said, each one is different. So it varies and is different for everyone based on how that disability can affect them. And yeah, it just, yeah, as for glasses are, that's a tricky one because they're not always seen that way, as you indicated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's all about just educating yourself and being respectful to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not saying something that would come off as, like, wrong.
Yeah, rude or offensive.
Their disability, whether you can tell or not. So, yeah.
And to those who are unaware or, you know, aren't fully inundated and haven't been introduced to this topic in this capacity, or maybe they don't know any disabled people amongst their like immediate family, the cohort or what have you, this might seem like a lot to learn and like, oh my God, there's so much I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that I could be rude to somebody by holding the door. I didn't know I could be rude to somebody if I'm doing this. I never considered this. I never considered that. And there can almost be this feeling of almost guilt-based frustration. And I can imagine it's akin to the way white people might feel when they first learn what privilege is, and what men feel like when we learn what feminism truly is and the privileges we have as men, or maybe how, what's another good example? But those are the two that come to mind, where it's this almost cognitive dissonance to what their reality has been, and then learning a story that is not necessarily complimentary. They initially take it in as contrary to what they've known. So yeah. Sometimes their first initial reaction is anger, not compassion, not empathy, not seeking to understand. Right. So
exactly.
To those people, I would say, hey, I got schooled when I read Malit's capstone,
yeah,
and I'm more than open to it.
Your eyes are going to be open. I'm just like, that's it. Like,
yeah, the information is out there. This scholastic info is not new. It didn't just happen. Disabled people have been around so long as people have been around. This isn't a new phenomenon. And the way the queer community is treated and how visible they might be now, so to speak, because society has become, for the most part, I want to say, at least visually more accepting. If you're looking at like phone screens and stuff like that, like overall, we've moved forward in some ways. There's still a lot of work to be done, but we've moved forward. And some people might be like, oh, there's too much of this. There's too much of that. Hey, guys, get used to it.
Yeah.
The disabled community has been here. And if you look at just intersectionality, there are queer, Black, disabled people. There are like
they
occupy all these intersections.
Yeah, there's folks like me, you know, female, Black, Christian, and just like straight up nerds like me, mm-hmm. who you know, there's a group that's like that can pass as able-bodied, and that passing,
mm-hmm.
and I quote air quote passing, because that that applies to race, that applies to
there's a whole lot of politics that goes into
the
that.
Racial one, the racial input there, oh, that's a whole other beast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's totally applicable across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, to those folks, honestly, I'm just saying, check out my project online.
Absolutely. It will be linked. It is not a very long read. And even if it was, it's well worth it. Go ahead, ingest all of it, people.
It will be available for like download soon to the world. So I will post that again soon.
Mm-hmm.
On June 29th is that date. So mark that date. I'm going to have the post with the downloadable link. So download it, read it, process it, wrangle it in your brain.
Yep.
Then share your thoughts with me and let me know how your eyes have been opened. Like, it's simple as that. Like, there's just, it's, the list goes on. There's so many things, so many intersections, as you said. And the work never ends. Like, we've been fighting from the jump, man. We've been, like,
yeah, and there's actually an episode, there's a video on Malit's YouTube page called The History of the Disability Rights Movement. It's about 47 minutes long, and before any of you suck your teeth or sigh like, that's such a long video, you spend more time binging your favorite shows. I think you could spare some time to watch this and learn
Watch it, check out the original links, read it, grab it in your brain.
Sourced information.
Really think, really process this, because it's happening. It's real. It's happening in real time, everywhere, every nook and cranny of the world, whether you see it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not. It's happening. Till people have been fighting for their lives, for their rights, for just the chance to be people.
Yeah.
For so long.
Absolutely. And this is a very, very near and dear subject to your heart. And without pulling on too many heartstrings, would you care to talk about some of your experience going through higher education as a disabled Black woman? Because I don't imagine it was necessarily the easiest.
Yeah, it's at least higher education, at least in college. I mean, again, as I said, I'm in the subgroup that passes as able-bodied, so I may not necessarily need as much help in terms of, at least academically, at least, like, my brain is like, you know, like, I'm good
up there.
You know, physically, I might need some help with certain things, but people don't know, like, literally, when I'm growing up, like in school, I had years of therapy for just to physically, because I was physically not able to do half the stuff I was, like, physically now. I'm in a much better place than I was when I was a kid. I had 13 years of therapy in the midst of, like, through school because of just my situation. So, And again, as I said, for me, if I'm around and doing what I'm doing, people, you know, they see me and, you know, they look at me and they think like, oh, you know, he's, you know, just doing her thing. They don't know. Like, there's some, like, it's almost like you'd look at me, you know, you'd see me outside with, you know, family or so on, and you know, you'd look at me and you, like, you'd seem, you know, seem normal, but, like, literally, like, unless I talk to you about it, you don't know. Unless I have to do something super important that involves, you know, commute and so on when it comes to, like, my life.
Yeah.
In the case of, like, applying for jobs and that kind of stuff, you know, that's different. Unless you really, like, personally know me, unless you're my family and you know, like, how I came into the world, what I had to go through just to live, just to make it out of the hospital when I did. I mean, that's a whole precursor to my whole life. So,
yeah,
like, I mean, like, you don't know, like, you look at me, you know, I seem normal, but you don't know, like, my whole life. You don't know the fight I had to have, the fight I had to just be able to live, to even be here, like, physically here in the world. That's a whole other thing, but, like, it just shows you don't know everything. Like, you may even be in a group of friends, and when you think you know, you know, on the surface, but you don't really know, there might be something else going on.
Yeah,
that's, like, super personal and deep that they just kind of keep to themselves, you know. But it just shows you can't like, it's just, you know, I guess I don't want to say you never really truly know people, but in a way, you never really truly know people because,
yeah,
like, I mean, for us disabled folks, like, in at least the subgroup that has a disabled body, you look at us and you know, we look normal, but you don't know, you know, unless you're somebody really, really close, unless you're a really close family or friend or someone else, you don't really know, you know? Unless
or maybe like a professional who can see the signs.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, it's just very much it's a unique beast of stuff, but yeah, it just shows you don't really truly know people, and you may think you know, at least on the surface, but you don't really know the reasoning for certain things for that person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I would just say that in terms of what was the I'm blanking. What was the last?
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm blanking.
It's all good. It's all good. You got in the zone. It was a question about what your experience was going through higher education with a quote unquote invisible disability as a Black woman.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I haven't had, as I said, it's been pretty good. I haven't had. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I pass as able bodied, so I don't need as much help in terms of, like, obviously academically and all that, but physically and so on. So yeah, it was a, you know, like, through college and now, you know, it's been a really good experience and
beautiful.
And you know, on the course, as I said earlier, on the course of just improving my career. So yeah, I mean, for me. I mean, there's been some times when it's kind of up and down, but it's been pretty good overall. But I know, obviously, there are many folks who can't say that. There are many folks, many disabled folks who've had way worse. It could have been way worse for me. And for, like, I could have been wheelchair bound, not being able to function at all. Like, that's how bad it could have possibly been. But I'm lucky. So. Yeah, it's just like, it just shows you just never really know a person's story. You never really know.
That's why why you would qualify as a quote unquote passing person. So it's not necessarily like front facing, very obvious in your face. So I understand exactly what you're getting at.
Yeah, but yeah, it's, as I indicated earlier, it's all part of changing the narrative. Getting people to see, hey, people are human. Whether you see it, whether you interact with them and see them, like, out in the world, physically,
or not.
In the case where, like, or not, like, they're human. You know, whether they look able-bodied or not. You know, they may look able-bodied, but they may have something going on, you know. So it just shows you, like, comes back to just educating yourself. And as I said earlier, those points I made about really making sure that, you know, you're being an ally in the ways I suggested earlier, it's super important to do that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Malit. Thank you,
Julio, for just, you know, giving me the platform to discuss this, and just, yeah, you know, thank you for all that you're doing.
Much appreciated.
You know, Stony Brook and beyond, all the, like, all that you're gonna do. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be here talking to you.
Yeah, you're always at any point welcome back to discuss more.
Yeah, I will definitely let you know if at all, you know, it doesn't even have to be disability. It could be anything, really.
Absolutely. Because you said you're a nerd and you didn't even mention what some of your, like, nerdy interests are. Are you, like, into comics? You into anime?
Like, I'm like, I mean, I guess I'm like,
are you
I'm
a Trekkie, a Star Wars fan?
I'm definitely big on things like So Fantastic Beasts 3 just dropped. I'm about to like check that out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And Doctor Strange 2.0 is dropping.
Well, I'm super ready for that. I'm super ready for that.
And I mean,
like, you just reminded me I need to buy my tickets.
I'm just all about like bringing a whole stack right now in the process. And I mean, things like Doctor Fantastic Beasts, Doctor Strange, Now You See Me. What else? What else? So the Maze Runner stuff, Shadowhunters TV show, the whole nine. Like I'm like ready to, like there's a Now You See Me 3 that's been in the works for about 7 years now.
Oh wow.
Hopefully it's coming out soon because I've been waiting. But yeah, there's so much. I mean, what do I want? I mean, when I was, I mean, there was like Xenon, Minutemen, all that, like that was like the 90s were an era, man. When I was growing up, there was some unique shows that were just a lot nerd, and I was just like, yes, there's just a whole amazing thing. But yeah, I'm like stuff like that is just huge, and like all the Percy Jackson books and things like that. So Rick Riordan, like his stuff, is gold, man. Like the Percy Jackson series is just amazing.
I personally never read the books, but I saw the movie.
I've been reading his books since sixth grade. As I said, that's a full out nerd. I've been doing this for. A major fan of his for so long, reading like most of his series, and so yeah, it's just just like full out nerd, so all that kind of stuff. So yeah, obviously, so all the like the CW or DC Comics TV shows, like
the Flash fell off. The Flash fell off in a major way. It started out great, but it fell off.
Yeah, like there's just so much. That would just be like some of the things I'm kind of currently looking forward to or watching in the world of just nerds. So yeah, that's what sums up.
Awesome. I love how you lit up there when I asked you about what your like leisurely interest was. That was awesome. That was great. That was really great. Yes. Yeah, those are the whenever I ask people what they're passionate about and I get that kind of reaction, my soul almost like lights up along with theirs because it's just so great.
It's a nerd thing, man. It's a nerd thing.
We're all nerds about something. Like nerd isn't like an exclusive term. Everybody's a nerd about something.
Yeah.
Car guys call themselves car guys because they don't want to be called car nerds. We try and come up with different names for it. Bakers are just pastry nerds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Teachers, all book nerds, but that's like in the traditional scholastic definition of nerd. Like everybody's a nerd at something. Rappers are like, they're basically English nerds because, hey, you flip in the language and words and all the flows and cadences. Yeah, that's definitely nerdy in every aspect. So all of us are nerds in some way. And those are, whether it is something you wear on your sleeve or it's something covert that you only tell to like your loved ones and those close to you, it's not unlike the disabilities we spoke about earlier, where they can be very front-facing, very visible, and people are quote-unquote out about it, or they can be more covert and you could be quote-unquote passing and people are unaware until they inquire or they speak about it. There are definitely things that we need to educate ourselves on, need to be far more tolerant of, and most definitely need to make room for and accommodate in our day-to-day lives. Because as easy as our lives are can be as able-bodied people, they are difficult for those with disabilities and where ours is difficult, you can't even imagine what somebody with disabilities could be going through or experiencing in the same exact situation. So with that, I want to thank you so much again, Malit. Greatly appreciate you. This has been a very long time coming.
Yeah.
Finally sat down, got the episode done.
Yes. Thanks for, you know, having me on, and thanks for giving me, you know, an initial platform to really, you know, spread awareness about this subject and just about some of the challenges that disabled folks can face and do face. Yeah, I do appreciate this very, very much. And let me know if you ever want to, you know, dissect anything nerdy. I'm down to, you know.
Absolutely. There are definitely some shows or books that you could put me onto. Absolutely. And again, everybody, Malit's social media, as well as her YouTube channel, her Capstone, and her website will be linked along with this episode. Thank you so much again for joining me. This has been another episode of Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. Much appreciated. Godspeed.
Thank you for tuning in today. Your listenership and support are greatly appreciated. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to use the voice message feature on the Anchor app or message me on social media. You could be listening to anything in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I appreciate you. Until next time, this has been Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. Godspeed.